Pastor Rob and Denise aren't with us this morning. They have gone to join C3's Mackay celebration service today, which is being held over at the Faith Center on the senior campus. Pastor John and Rose Gilbank from C3 are handing on the leadership of the church to their son, Pastor Bo and his wife Denisha, and they are a great couple. They're going to lead that church well. And I just want to Pastor Rob sends his regards and says hello, and Denise, they say hello, and sorry they can't be here this morning, but they're celebrating over there. And I'm just so thankful to Jesus for the unity in Mackay. Am I right? You know, some people come to me and say, you know, I've moved to this church because I've come from that one and it wasn't any good. And I'm like, oh, really? They're some of my best friends. Careful what you say, because we really do love and honor all the churches in Mackay, and we have a great relationship there. And so Pastor Rob and Denise are supporting them this morning, and they send their regards. How awesome was worship this morning? It's really smoky in here, isn't it? I was like thinking, is it just me, or is it smoky in here? I can barely see you guys. All right, let's pray this morning. We're going to open the scriptures to one of the good ones. So why don't you close your eyes with me? This morning, I want to preach a message called A Very Oily Church. A Very Oily Church. Let's close our eyes and pray. Lord, we welcome you in this place this morning with our worship and our attention. Father, I pray that today, as we read your word and as we come around this message, that we would know you more deeply and we would leave not the same. Lord, I pray that we would not just go from a Sunday to Sunday service, but something would change, that we would grow and mature. Lord, I pray this morning as we spend time with you that you would fill up our oil tank. Lord, that we would be full and overflowing. We don't want to be dry Christians waiting to get to heaven. We don't want to be dry Christians waiting for the world to end one day. Lord, we want to be full and overflowing to reach the world around us. We want to bring heaven to earth, Lord. Your kingdom come. So Holy Spirit, enable us by your divine grace. Lead us. Reveal to us your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I don't have a very clear, structured message today. But I've been with Jesus, and he's been speaking, and so I've got some good things to share, and we'll see what we get through today and where we end up. Okay? Is that cool? Awesome. Well, talking about a very oily church, you know, my family's cultural background is we're Maltese. Is there any Maltese people in the room today? I can see a couple. Some people aren't too proud. But there's others that are really proud. My family being Maltese, I've looked at my great aunties and my grandmother, my nunna and her sisters, and I've said to them once, I said, how do you guys have such great skin? Like, how do you have such great skin? You know, you got a good tone, good complexion, you look so young all the time. What is it? And I remember one of the times my auntie Martha, she said, well, dear, it's because of all the oil we have. I said, what do you mean all the oil you have? She's like, well, it's because of all the olive oil. I said, what, you put olive oil on your face? She goes, no, dear, no. I said, what do you do? She goes, when we're cooking, we use olive oil for everything. I said, so what, you're cooking and it splashes up on your face? Wouldn't that burn your skin? She goes, no, because we're eating so much oil all the time. Our skin is so healthy and fresh. And I don't even know if that's true. I need to go like talk to a skin doctor to find out if that's true. Otherwise, I'll add more oil in. We'll all add more oil into our cooking. But that's what she reckons, and it's the oil, she says. It's funny, in Maltese culture, we love oil. Have you ever tried, who here likes olives? Some people, it's like a controversial topic on how many people like olives. I reckon about 50% of the room loves them, 50% of the room hates them, and there's no one else in between. But with olives, I don't know if you've ever tried an olive fresh off the tree before. If you've ever tried a raw olive that hasn't been baptized in oil and sat in it for months, It tastes terrible. A raw olive is so like rich and like almost sour, bitter. Bitter is probably the better word. It's gross. Like, I love olives, but I wouldn't eat a raw one. And that's why they drench them in oil. And after being drenched or cured or what do you call it, other things they do to it, it becomes tasteful and tasteworthy. You know, not everything tastes better with oil, even pickles. You know, cucumbers, after sitting in oil, become pickles. And they taste so much better than just a boring old cucumber. Oil actually makes things taste better. And it goes the same with our lives and our Christian walk. Oil actually makes things better. You know, the Bible uses oil as like a metaphor, an illustration for the Holy Spirit in our lives. And our lives without the Holy Spirit, they're kind of bitter. Trying to live the Christian life without a relationship with the Holy Spirit is not easy. Hats off to you if you can do it, but I haven't met someone who can. To live a true Christian life without the Holy Spirit, I haven't met someone who can. Oil just makes things better. You know, I remember when I was decided to follow Jesus, I was finishing up high school, and I decided to get baptized through the peer pressure of my dad and my stepmom. Good peer pressure. I got baptized in a caravan park in Cooktown, in a little pool there, with Pastor Rick Ashcroft and my dad. And I remember coming out of the water, and it felt like I was down there for a long time. You know, it felt like I was down there for 30 seconds, but I couldn't hold my breath for 30 seconds, so it definitely wasn't that long. It was probably about, you know, a quick dip, but it felt like something was taking place when I got baptized. I went into the waters of baptism, and I was conscious and aware that I was leaving the old life behind, and I was being raised to new life with Jesus. I made that decision that day. And so I went into the waters, I left that old life behind, and it felt like something was peeling off me. I described it at the time like a snake skin, like the snake coming out of its old skin. It felt like I was leaving that old life behind me. And I remember coming up out of the water, and I felt so weird and different. It felt like there was like a current of energy like surging through my body. And I was shaking a bit like this. And I remember Dad, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember this? You turned to me and you said, "Why are you shaking so much?" And I said, "I don't know." And you're like, "It's not cold." And I'm like, "Oh, are you sure? Because I'm really shaking." And he goes, "I think that might be the Holy Spirit." And I'm like, "What does that mean?" Because I just didn't know. I was so innocent to it. And I remember getting home and Dad said, you know, if you receive the Holy Spirit after you got baptized, then you should be able to go home and you should be able to pray in tongues now. And I was like, "Cool, how do I do that?" And he goes, "You figure it out." It's pretty hard to teach someone how to speak in tongues, so I get what he was getting at. And I remember going, sitting on my bed that night and just waiting upon the Lord. And I try to pray in a heavenly language, and it just eventually began to flow. And over the next couple of days, this spiritual language developed, and the power of the Holy Spirit started to manifest itself in my life. Now listen for a moment. I believed Jesus was real all my life. I believed he was real. I honored the idea of Jesus. I honored the idea and the principles that God has laid out for us in the Word. But I wasn't following them. Sometimes I would try to, other times I wouldn't. But it was really hard without the power of the Holy Spirit. But after I got baptized and I waited upon the Lord on my bed each night and I would say, "Holy Spirit, fill me up more. Like, fill me up, Holy Spirit. I want more of you. I want your oil." And I'd pray that and I'd begin to stir up that heavenly prayer language and speak in tongues. And as I'd begin to do that, this oil enabled things to take place in my life that I didn't even know was possible. I remember opening up the Word of God for the first time after being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it made incredible sense to me where it didn't before. I would try and read it, and it just would not make sense. Let me tell you, if you read this without the Holy Spirit, you're just reading words on a page. You're reading a history book. But if you would let the Holy Spirit speak through you and reveal it to you, the Bible actually will speak to you instead of you reading it. it'll actually jump out and speak to you. It's powerful stuff. And so that began to happen. I'd open the scriptures and read the stories of Jesus, and it would just jump out at me and mean so much to me and transform and shape my life. The oil changed things for me. I remember praying, and my prayers were different. Before, I used to pray, oh, Jesus, you know, help me at work today because this is hard. And it was all about me, me, me. But then my prayers started to change when they got oil on them, and it started to be about others. And I started to see prayers answered when I'd pray in the Holy Spirit. And oil just makes things better. Can we agree to that? I mentioned last week when I was emceeing, trying to run a car without oil, it will burn out. You need oil in the engine. And sometimes you need a top up. And for the last, like, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks, I've just had this thing sitting on my heart of like, man, we need to be an oily church. Far be it from us to be the church of Jesus Christ that lacks oil, that lacks the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. Jesus didn't do any great miracle until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized by John the Baptist, who wasn't actually a Baptist. He was more of a Bapticostal. And when he got baptized and came up out of the water, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Not as a dove, like a dove. The Holy Spirit isn't a dove. He's much more powerful than that. But it was like a dove. He came and descended upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my son." And then Jesus went into the wilderness. He was tested. And then he went out and he performed miracles. And the 3 years of his ministry expanded from the moment that he was filled with the Spirit. Something I find significant, which we'll talk about today because I'm all over the shop, but it's okay. But something we'll talk about in a second is that oil is not received or bargained with by the things that you can do, but it's actually just found in spending time with the oily one. Who's the oily one? Do you know what the Christ means? Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ is the more literal term. It's not his last name. The Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one means the oily one. By spending time with the anointed one, his oil actually rubs off on you. And Jesus had this blows my mind. Jesus had 3 years of ministry to change the world and flip the world upside down and bring the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. He had 3 years to impact the world. And you know, maybe not majority, but a heap of that time was spent alone with the Father. He would walk upon water. He would break bread and multiply it to thousands of people. He would do these mighty miracles, pull up dead people from their deathbeds and heal the sick and the broken. He would walk into demon-infested territory and cast out all the demons. He would do all these mighty miracles, and when people would rush to him and try and find answers, he would say, "I just need to go be with the Father." And he would climb up a mountain and he would pray. You'd think within 3 years of ministry, he'd be busy doing other stuff, right? Like, come on, Jesus, you got to get those camps going up. You got to get those conferences going. You got to plan for that next event or that next meeting or that next miracle service or baptism service or the next family Sunday. Or, you know, you'd think he'd be busy, busy, busy doing ministry. He's only got 3 years to flip the world upside down, and he spent a lot of that time in prayer because he knew that he could not do it without partnering with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, you may not feel called to be a minister, but you're called to be a minister. Maybe not on stage, but in your workplace. If you want to become a child of God, you've got to act like it. And part of that invitation is God's calling you to be a minister. A minister to reconcile the lost back to Jesus. And you cannot do that without the oil. You can try, but it's nowhere near as effective as it could be if you just get oily. Have you seen, I don't know why this picture came to my head. Have you seen in like, I can't even remember what other country it is, but there's this like oily pig challenge thing that they do. This has nothing to do with my message, but it's really funny. Ben, have you seen this? There's like this country around the world, they oil up a pig and they just send it off, and there's about 100 blokes and they try and catch the pig, and they're running around trying to catch it. It's slippery. It just keeps getting, has anyone seen this? Look it up. Look up oily pig challenge. It's hilarious. Anyway, praise God for oily pigs. Peppa Pig. Amen. God bless Peppa Pig. Well, let's open to this scripture this morning because it is really, really good. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. It says this. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, these are not LED lamps. These are oil lamps, okay? 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd speak to us on this scripture this morning in Jesus' name. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not have any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Next slide. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. That word trimmed, if you look into it in the Greek, it actually talks about not just trimming the wick, but it actually talks about decorating and preparing the lamp. So they get ready. These virgins are about to see the bridegroom, and the bridegroom's about to choose them to be betrothed to them. And so they're prettying up their lamps. They're getting it ready. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." These were savage virgins. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came also, and they said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Speaking of the return of Jesus. Keep watch is the meaning of the parable, for you don't know the day nor the hour. There's a couple of things that I notice in this scripture that I just want to kind of draw out that I felt the Holy Spirit speaking about. You can be desiring in your heart to head in the right direction, but your actions can be way off. Some people say things like, "You know what? Like, God knows my heart. I really want to follow Jesus. I'm living a life of sin. I'm doing all these things. I'm not following his call and his purpose for my lives, but God knows my heart that I want to follow him." Can I tell you, like as a friend, it's not enough to just have it right in your heart. Your actions need to follow. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey me." Not if you love me, you'll just hold a nice feeling towards me in your heart. For example, if I want to head down south to Brisbane, I want to drive to Brisbane and I have that map in my hands and I set the directions to Brisbane, my intention is to go to Brisbane, but I start driving north and I pass the Leap, I pass Seaforth and I keep going north up through Bowen. My intentions are that I'd be in Brisbane, but I'm heading in the wrong direction. Can I tell you, just like these virgins, their desire was to see Jesus, was to see the bridegroom, to meet their husband. But they didn't do the very thing they needed to do, and that was to keep their lamps burning by having oil in it. I find it fascinating that they would come before Jesus, or they're preparing to go and find Jesus, and the wise one went first, and because they had oil in their lamps, they could see where they were going, and when the dark nights came, they could see where they were going, and when Jesus stood before them, they could see him clearly and rightly, and they knew who he was. But those who did not have oil in their lamps, those who did not steward a relationship with the Holy Spirit and continue that flame in their life, as they begin to walk out to meet Jesus, they couldn't see him anymore. Without oil in your lamp, you cannot see him clearly. We need oil. On the darkest of nights, It's the oil of the Holy Spirit that will keep the flame burning. In the hardest of times, through turmoils, through trials, through pestilence, through pandemics, whatever it is that comes your way, through financial difficulty, through marriage difficulty, let me tell you, friend, it's the oil that will keep things burning. On the darkest nights, it's the oil. Sometimes it's so simple, it blows my mind. I'll find myself in a place where I feel stuck and I don't know what I'm doing with my life, or I don't know where to go. And I sit before Jesus and I'm like, Lord, I need answers. And God says, I'm not going to give you answers. I'm just going to give you more oil. Oil will cause you to squeeze through gaps and doors that you never knew was possible to get through. Sometimes we just need more oil. God's eye is not caught by the decor of the lamp or what it looks like, but God's eye is caught by whether it bears a flame. And the only way it can bear a flame is if we keep it topped up with oil. I wanted to step in and talk about prayer this morning, but because we're running out of time, I won't spend too much time on it. But oil can be received through prayer. As we spend time with the Anointed One, we get anointed. You can't help it. You spend a long enough time with Jesus and it will happen. I remember being at a youth camp. I want to share with you a story, but I'm sharing it from a place of this is how broken I was at the time. I remember being at a youth camp in whatever year it was. I don't know, I was a youth leader at the time. I wasn't a youth pastor. And I was serving, and I remember the person preaching got up the front and said, some of you will not leave this place today until you've received what God has for you. Just like Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, some of you will not leave this place until you've received. Jesse, you were there. I don't know when that was. Maybe a long time ago. And I remember being on my knees and I was praying and waiting on the Lord. The message had finished. Worship was continuing at the end. People were getting prayed for and falling down in the power of the Lord and receiving miracles and stuff was happening and taking place. And I'm there on my knees and I'm saying, Lord, I'm not leaving this place until I get some oil. Like, I am so broken. I am so, my life could not continue without you. Like, I feel like I don't even know which way to go, what step to take. I don't even know what I'm doing with my life. I feel like my life actually is meaningless right now unless you come and break through. I need a touch from heaven. And I remember staying on that floor for hours upon hours upon hours on my knees, and nothing was happening. You know, I'm not a big feeler. I don't often feel the presence of God really strongly like some people do. I don't often have crazy visions. When they come, it's awesome, but I'm not a big feeler. But I'm big on faith and knowing, and I know He's here. I know He's here this morning, and I knew He was there that night, and I sat there. I'm like, Lord, I know You're here. I'm going to wait for You. And in the final hour, I felt the presence of the Lord rush into the room. And it was like He came. No one was in the place. We were in a basketball stadium. That's where we were having our camp up at Seaford. Everyone had left. Everyone had left. And I'm there waiting for the Lord. And I felt Him come and grab my hand. I felt the Spirit of Jesus come up and grab my hand. And I felt power surge through that hand into the other one. And in my mind's eye, I could see like this flame had just risen up within me. And I felt like I was topped up again. See, I'd already received the Spirit at baptism. But when you're pouring out and you're pouring out and you're pouring out, sometimes you can run dry. That's why we need to come back to the source. And so I did, and I felt the Holy Spirit fill me up. And He gave me a vision for my life, and He spoke to me a very clear word, which is not relevant for right now. It was 3 a.m. in the morning by the time I got off my knees. I could barely walk. Like I tried to stand up and I was kind of walking like this. It was really hard to walk, and I had sore knees the rest of the day. I couldn't play the games the next day because my knees were so broken and sore. I'm not sharing that to boast at how long I spent in prayer, but I'm sharing that from a place of vulnerability. Sometimes you just need a breakthrough, and sometimes you need oil. The secret place of prayer, when we talk about the secret place, we're talking about time alone with Jesus. Here's a few points. The secret place is like a strong tower that you can run to in times of trouble. There's oil in the secret place, but you could also see that time alone with God in prayer is like a strong tower. The proverb says, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to Him and they're safe. The secret place is like, I would say, describe it even like a personality test. It's a place where you actually discover your true identity. Prayer was the place of revelation where I discovered my true identity. I would open the word and it would speak to me. I wrote in here in my notes, we should not challenge the word, but we should open it and allow it to challenge us. Sometimes we open the word and we try and find all the meanings and things behind it, or too many things, or if it's true or if it's false, but actually we should open it and let it challenge us, and it will reveal our identity. 1 John chapter 2 verse 27 says, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real, it is not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. See, the anointing can actually teach you things about yourself that you could never find out on your own. Time alone with Jesus changes everything. I had a mum say to me once, a young mum, she said to me, look, I find it really hard to get that time alone with God in prayer because I've got kids running around and it's hard to find that alone time. I said, well, that's fine. Like, God's not disappointed that you have responsibilities. Invite his presence into your responsibilities. If you're out taking the kids for a walk, invite him into that walk. Invite his presence in on it. When I'm washing up the dishes, I'm inviting the presence of God into washing up dishes. I'm singing my own worship song as I'm washing up dishes. I'm washing up dishes saying, God, I thank you that you've washed me clean. I thank you that your blood has ironed out all the wrinkles. I thank you that your blood is transforming me and changing me. Invite him into your responsibilities. And when you can, fight for that time alone with him. Because I'm telling you, oil will make the difference. Can I have the band come and join us on stage, please, this morning? The last thing I want to mention is that, I don't know if you've noticed this before, but if you have a glass of water and you pour oil into it, what happens to the oil? It rises to the top. Who here agrees that we all need to be a little bit more oily? In the context of what I'm talking about, all my Maltese friends are like, no, I've got too much oily skin, I need less oil, whatever. But I think Christians without oil are really dry, and I think we need more oil. But here's the dangerous thing about oil. Oil causes things to lift. Oil causes things to rise to the surface. If there's things in your life you haven't given over to Jesus yet, and that oil comes upon you, if we're worshiping and the anointing comes upon you, it'll cause things to rise to the surface because God wants to address those things in your life. Jesus wants to come back for a spotless and pure bride. That's not done in your own strength, but it's done by handing it over to him. At the cross, his blood is enough, let me tell you, his blood is enough and it's still present today to wash you and set you free completely from sin. Even from trauma, even from past events that you're still holding onto in your mind, even unforgiveness, the blood is enough. And friend, if you want to be an oily Christian, if you want more oil, which you should, you need to be aware that oil causes things to lift. How come we see so many ministers and preachers backslide? They're powerful, anointed preachers, but eventually the oil will cause things to rise to the surface and it will be known and identified. I have such a conviction at the moment. The last 2 weeks, my prayer has been, Lord, purify my heart. Purify my heart because I want more oil. And I don't want stuff that's bad or unright within me or bad mindsets or things that are negative and hurting people or unforgiveness in my life to come to the surface. I want it dealt with so that all the good things can rise up. Oil causes things to lift. And so this morning, if there's things in your life that you want to deal with, then I want to invite you to come forward as we worship this morning, to come to the altar and say, Lord, I give it over to you. I hand it over to you because I want more oil and I don't want that stuff interfering and getting in the way. If you need to repent this morning and hand it over to Jesus, if you need more power in your life, if you need a top up in your oil tank, then I want to invite you to come forward this morning as we worship. Why don't we stand together in this place? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing that song, Refiner, in just a moment. I love this scripture. I want to read it again. Joel 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Lord, this morning, we pray that you would pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Come on, if you're with me in this place, why don't you just lift your hands or open your heart to the Lord? If you can speak in a heavenly tongue, feel free to bless the Lord. Lord, we want oil. We don't want to do it on our own. Lord, we repent. We're sorry for trying to do this thing on our own, Lord. In every area of our life, whether it be marriage or friendships or family or work, God, we ask that you would come and bring oil on it. Fill us afresh, Lord. We hand over our sin to you and we say, Lord, I thank you that your blood is enough to cancel it off of our lives. We don't want it anymore. We don't want to hold on to the baggage. We don't want to hold on to unforgiveness. Lord, do a work in us. Transform us by the power of your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that your word says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses. Lord, allow our lives to be a witness that you are alive and you are real by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just continue to pray and bless the Lord? If you want to come forward, I specifically don't want to lay hands on people this morning. I want you to get alone with Jesus. Get into that secret place up the front here. I'm not going to pray for you. I want you to come and meet Jesus this morning. So if you want to receive, if you want to lay down your life again, then just come forward. I invite you, friend, come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we want to burn for you.